I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta. If you aren't all that pumped up for the upcoming test series between Australia and India, then really good for you, because the rest of us aren't going to be getting much sleep over the next few weeks. Although the first test in Adelaide is a day-nighter and it begins at a relatively late hour of 8:30 a.m., waking up in the wee hours is going to become something of a routine for us. So welcome to a new episode of A View from the Stands, where our focus is, of course, on a long-awaited series where Virat Kohli's India will look to prove that they indeed are the best in the format, and Australia will seek what could well be called revenge for the maiden test series defeat on home soil when India last visited. We will recap that historic test series win during the 2018-19 tour, test by test, and also touch upon all the big talking points leading into this series, such as Kohli's absence after the first test in Adelaide and Warner's absence for the first test in Adelaide. This is where I bring my co-host in. Rudra, your take on India's few key absences and Australia's two key, presences, returns in Steve Smith and David Warner. I know Warner is suffering from an adductor injury, but, you know, once he recovers, that's definitely going to bolster their opening slot. So here you go.
Thank you, Aditya. But before I get into that, I just wanted to say that when you said that we will have a few sleepless nights, I was just reminded of the fact that when we were younger, at least when I was younger, this waking up very, very early in the morning to watch India's tour of Australia used to be so much more pleasurable. I looked forward to it. You know, it was like I would keep some stuff in the fridge that I can just open in the morning and eat, and you know, I'll make my own tea and feel so happy. Nobody around me except for me and the TV watching India play Australia. But now when you said it, I shuddered.
I'm like, you shuddered. Man,
in this cold, I don't know if I want to do it anymore. But
I know what you mean. But on the same lines, I just quickly have to plug this in. The fabulous writer Rahul Bhattacharya, in fact, like, immortalized just this, right? What you were talking about. The feeling of waking up early for an Australia test series and for a test match at 5:30 a.m. in that inky darkness, you know? It was a fabulous, fabulous piece called A Billion Bill Lorries. Guys, do check it out. But I'm going to send you right back to Kohli and Warner and whatever else you think is a talking point leading up to Adelaide.
Right. And presences is right. I would go with that word, even though it's kind of ungrammatical. But I mean, their presence looms large. You know, it's like Steve Smith, boss. I mean, the Australian team revolves around him. There's no question about it. Everybody in that team individually, great performer. It's a great team. But Steve Smith in that team, and he's been compared to Don Bradman many times before. And I don't mean to really compare, but there is a certain aura to Smith in tests that really is difficult to ignore. And without him,
absolutely,
no matter how good the rest of the Australian team is, they miss something which is more than missing one person, one great batsman. Yeah, I can't explain it. I mean, imagine in the 2018-19 tour when India won.
Yeah,
Cheteshwar Pujara top scored for us with some 500 odd runs.
That's
for Australia, it was Marcus Harris with 258 runs. You know, less than half of what Pujara got. Harris is not even in the team anymore. And that kind of tells you a story of what Australia misses when they miss Smith. And I really think that it's not just Smith's runs, but just his presence in the team. You know, just you knowing that the next batsman going out is Smith, or you on the other side of the pitch, you know, batting Smith. I'm pretty sure it does a whole world of difference to the Australian mindset, to their aggression, to how much, to their confidence, to what runs they think they will get onto the scoreboard. So really, Smith's presence cannot be overstated. I think it will be very, very hard for India with Smith in the team.
Yeah, you know, Kohli agrees with you too. So immediately after the T20 series ended, the first thing he said was, you know, he's really looking forward to the test series. Not so much the warm-up game that's between the T20I series and the test series, because, you know, he's really tired. He doesn't know, or he didn't know at that point if he was going to play the second warm-up game. But he said he's really looking forward to the test series because it's going to be a much tougher contest this time around. And he said, because they have better players. Now, he didn't take the names of those players, but it's pretty evident who they are. As you said, Smith and Warner. Yeah, a lot of talking points going into Adelaide. Adelaide is exactly where India won the first test last time around in 2018-19. This episode is a little different from the ones that Rudra and I usually do. We're going to go back and forth and, you know, quickly sum up each of the test matches that happened on the previous tour, because, you know, it was so historic and it was so brilliant and all of that. So
this because is the Christopher Nolan of podcasts.
This is not really. Apparently, if you watch Tenet, it's
we're
not
just
going to
chop and change time.
Yeah. This is a pretty, you know, easy to follow movement that is back and forth. Chris Nolan's latest film, Tenet, which has been widely panned, apparently follows absolutely no rules. You know, in Memento, he went backwards and sometimes he really, like, you know, bends the timescale in his narrative like he did in Dunkirk. I'm getting carried away here, but let's get back to 2018.
I knew it when I said Christopher Nolan that you're going to get carried away.
I'm a big fan.
Let's put you back on track. I know. Let's put you back on track. 2018, you know, first test, Adelaide.
I just have to say this last thing about Chris Nolan. I know it's become like a really cool and popular thing to kind of like diss him these days, especially amongst people who really understand film. But boss, like, popular or not, he's just the finest filmmaker on the planet.
Please don't say things like this. You have to scrap the podcast. Please ignore the last comment. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, ignore that last comment.
I'm sticking to my guns and let's go back to Adelaide. So what happened in the Adelaide test in 2018-19, right? This is a venue that India has historically loved. Like in 2003, 2004, when the series was drawn 1-1, the only test we won was in Adelaide because of that fabulous show by Dravid, his double 100 there, and Lakshman's 102. In 2014-15, when Kohli became captain for the first time, in Dhoni's absence, he hit twin hundreds there in 100 in each test. And there he was again in the 2018-19 series, leading India into a test series that began in Adelaide. It didn't work out too well for Kohli, the batsman, but it was fabulous for India because we won the test again. And this was largely due to Cheteshwar Pujara, right? India was 41 for 4 very, very quickly. But Pujara hit this amazing 123. And, you know, again, like while you were talking about Smith, the role that Pujara played in this series and especially this innings cannot be overstated because he batted so beautifully with the lower middle order. Rohit Sharma was a lower middle order batsman at that point. So with Rohit, with Rishabh Pant and with Ashwin, and he took India to 250. Then our pacers and Ashwin did a fabulous job to restrict Australia to 235. Remember, this is an Australia without both Warner and Smith. India replied with 307 again because of Pujara's 71 is what he scored. And this time Rahane came good too, you know, he hit 100 leading up to the current series. And back in Adelaide in 2018, he got a 70. This basically set Australia a target that was going to be a little too difficult for them. But it got very, very nervy and very, very close. Ashwin took 3-4, a 3-4 again. And our amazing, amazing pacers chipped in. But, you know, Sean Marsh got this very gritty 50. After he got out, everyone in the Australian tail clicked from Tim Payne and below, right? And
right.
It came down to just 31 runs. And Shastri, of course, gave that amazing comment, which possibly cannot be repeated on a podcast about things hanging out of his mouth. Yeah, it was that close, but that was the first ever time India won the first test of a test series in Australia.
And then they took the series. I have a question. I mean, we spoke about the presence of Steve Smith. I want to talk about the big absence of this test series, which is Virat Kohli. Of course, he'll play in the Adelaide test, which will be a pink ball, a day-nighter. And I'm really looking forward to that. I love the concept of day-night test matches. I like the pink ball a lot. I think it's a lot of fun. But, you know, how much will India actually miss Virat Kohli? If you look beyond the aura of Virat Kohli being one of the greatest batsmen of his generation, being a great captain as well, just looking at the 2018 test series, if you took Virat Kohli out of that equation from that series as a batsman, how much would India have missed him?
Boss, I think you're being really, really harsh. My God, I can't believe you said that. India would not be half the team, a quarter of the team that they are right now, especially when we travel abroad without Kohli. I mean, he's not just the spine of the team. He's, you know, absolutely everything. Our greatest batsman, the guy who knows how to even go for a chase of over like 380 in the fourth innings. He's basically taught India not to be defensive and, you know, kind of shaped most of the players in his image. And without Virat Kohli,
I'm taking that into account. That's a very good point, right? Like he, as a very good leader, he has taught the team to think in a certain way. So the team has absorbed those lessons. They know
comes from him kind of like scoring the big runs every time we step out of the country too.
But he didn't in Australia in 2018. He didn't. He didn't score the big runs. He got one century in Perth.
He did. He got that 100 and he didn't do... I mean, he had an 80 in the next test in Melbourne that we won to where, you know, we declared for over 400. But yeah, I mean, take Kohli's...
Two big scores from eight innings.
Yeah. I think we just have to agree to disagree.
Because I just want to explore. It's not about disagreement. I just want to explore his how much is India going to miss him as purely as a batsman?
A lot. They're going to miss him a lot, right? Because I don't think Kohli even needs to score runs, as you know, he clearly didn't score the kind of runs that he usually does.
That makes no sense to me. I know I said Steve Smith has a bigger impact than just his batting, but the point is that when he goes out to bat, he scores a century. Every time he goes out to bat, he gets a whole lot of runs. There's never any doubt about that. And my point is that Kohli didn't do that. And maybe we are overstating how much India will miss him because, you know, we've still got Pujara in the lineup. We've got Rahane in the lineup. And I think they are going to get all the runs. And in terms of the captaincy...
I'll tell you why Kohli's absence is going to hurt, right? He kind of touched upon this when Australia came visiting India in 2017, where Steve Smith had this crazy series and Kohli didn't, right? But he said, I'm okay if all the focus is, you know, they're setting their plans for me because then the others can do well. So just Kohli's presence in the team ensures that a lot of the focus in Australia's team meetings are kind of, the focus is spent on Kohli and time is like heavily spent on figuring out how to stop Kohli. Now, the others can well thrive because of this, right? Like just having Kohli out there makes life a little tougher for Australia. And I think they will be like heaving a massive sigh of
that's
relief.
That is a great point. So do you see our batting lineup not doing too well this time around?
I'm not so sure. Again, so we're doing this back and forth thing right now, and we have to go to the second test in Perth, where Kohli indeed did get 100, the one that Rudra just brushed away by saying, you know, one great innings in the series. That was in Perth, a test that will actually be remembered for Nathan Lyon. But before Lyon could do his thing, you know, Australia had a much better opening stand between Aaron Finch and Marcus Harris this time around. They both got 70s and Australia got 326. Now is where Kohli replied. He was leading the charge and he hit a 123-2. But India was restricted to 283 because Lyon took 5.
Right.
Now was when the Indian fast bowlers really stood up because Shami took 6 himself and Australia were bowled out for 243. And it set India a target that was very achievable in 287, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it was just a tad too much for Kohli's side in the fourth innings because, you know, India had kind of gotten into a habit of not being able to chase those kind of figures down, like, you know, very achievable figures that they missed out in South Africa earlier in the same year and also in England. And the case was the same in Perth. They needed 287 to win and they fell well short because it wasn't just Lyon doing his thing this time around. All four bowlers in Stark, Hazelwood and Cummins chipped in and India lost by 140 runs.
Right. I hope that they've worked on that a bit. I think they have the ability to chase. Because, you know, we have in Rahane and Pujara, two of the great anchors in test batting right now. And, and this is another place where maybe we'll miss Kohli because he knows how to accelerate when, you know, things need changing. And I don't know. I mean, who's there in our lineup? I mean, I would have loved to see, for example, Hardik Pandya being retained for the tests.
Absolutely.
Fantastic batsman. And obviously, he's fearless and he just goes out. He has fun. He just goes out and does what he likes to do. So, who's going to do the chase if it comes down to that?
Yeah, you know what? This is an excellent point because I completely agree with you. I think in the form that Pandya was in, you know, those 290s in the one-day series, that terrific chase in Sydney that was also his top score in T20 cricket for India, but that helped India like chase down, I think, 195 or whatever that was. Right. You cannot ask a guy like that to go back home, man. I mean, he was actually, like, you know, really sweet about it when he was asked, are you a bit sad that you're going to miss out on the test series? And he was like, you know, I have like a 4-month-old kid and I haven't seen the kid at all for 4 months. This is the IPL and Australia. But I really think he should have been there. You know, in his absence, I think it's really time for Rishabh Pant to come good. Because he did the last time India toured Australia in that historic series. And without him, those kind of chases just get a little difficult. And also setting a good target gets a little difficult without... I'm not taking anything away from Saha. He totally proved, you know, his worth in the team in that warm-up game. But...
And he was a great nick in the IPL as well. I mean, he was aggressive and he was really hitting the ball well. And we all know that he's possibly technically the most gifted wicketkeeper around in world cricket right now. I find it hard to believe that Pant will be picked over Saha.
Yeah, good point. Also, my question to you is, do you think Australia missed a trick by not having Perth as a venue? Maybe this had something to do with COVID. I haven't checked this up because, you know, the quarantine regulations in Australia are extremely strict. Like, interstate travel is also, like, really, really
I'm
difficult.
I'm pretty sure that this is the reason. It was a COVID-related reason which made Perth not make the cut.
Because there's no Perth this time around, and we're going back to Brisbane.
Yeah, but look, Australia, full strength. With their bowling lineup, with Steve Smith back in the batting lineup, you know, I don't think they care where they're playing. You know, they're at home anyway. I don't think they'll care too much. I think they'll really go for it. And Australians, you know how competitive they are. You know that they're itching to, you know, avenge their 2018 series loss. It's how they work. So, you know, I think that's all they're talking in their dressing room all day long. And I think they'll be very, very pumped up, and it'll be a hard tour for India, as Kohli himself said. And I think the biggest thing is, and about this, I have no doubts and no gray areas, is that India is going to horribly miss Ishan Sharma in that bowling lineup.
Certainly, because of, you know, just how amazing he is overseas, Ishan is going to be missed right through the Test series. Like the other Sharma in Rohit is going to be missed for first two tests in Adelaide and Melbourne because of Australia's really strict quarantine protocols. Melbourne is where India went immediately after the Perth defeat and made the series 2-1. Let's have a very, very quick recap. Mayank Agarwal made his debut as an opener. India won the toss and chose to bat. That meant like Agarwal basically went from not knowing whether he was going to play a test match to facing Mitchell Stark in the space of 30 minutes. He hit 76. Yeah, imagine how crazy that is, man.
It's crazy, yeah.
Hit 76, gave India a solid start, one that, you know, our glorious middle order could build on. Pujara hit his second 100 of the series, got 106. Kohli got that other great knock in 82, the one that you don't count as. What? Like you said, what, 2-8, huh?
2-8, I said, yes. And I'm not incorrect. Okay.
Sorry, go on. I'm just going to make fun of you for the rest of this podcast.
Sure. Like,
just for that. All right. And yeah, Rohit chipped in with an unbeaten 63, and we declared on 443, right? After this, it was completely a Jasprit Bumrah show. His 6-33 bowled Australia out for 151. Now, this is where it got a little dicey with Kohli's captain. Because, you know, we got 443, they got 151. But with a 290-run lead, he still didn't enforce follow-on. And it got a bit gnarly from here on. Because in our effort to kind of add quick runs, we ended up losing a lot of wickets. And in the end, when he declared, I think India were 103-8, right? Mm. So the target for Australia was still impossible. It was 399. He knew that even if like they added 50 runs, it was going to be enough. But yeah, a lot of people questioned Kohli's intent at that point. But yeah, once they were set a target of 399, we knew as Indians that we weren't going to lose a series on Australian soil for the first time since 2003.
Incredible memories. Yeah, incredible. But, you know, like, I wanted to go get back to Ishan Sharma. I mean, we have such a fantastic bowling lineup, you know, in Mohammad Shami, Jasprit Bumrah, Ashwin, our fiery pace trio. And Ishan really, you know, was an integral part of it. He really completed the entire picture in terms of just the speeds, the variety, the control,
absolutely,
the swing and seam and absolutely who's doing what, you know. So there was never any let up for batsmen, you know, from either end. And that is something that India is really going to miss, even though Umesh Yadav always up for a good fight, you know, and always like feeling like he needs to prove himself. So he has that fire. And he showed us some of that fire in that tour game. Both him and Mohammad Siraj, who's our other upcoming quickie, both of them bowled with a lot of heart. Good bowling performances too. Took a lot of wickets. Yadav, you know, took out both the Australian openers, Barnes, as well as the Will Puchovsky, who's built to be the next great Australian opener.
Yeah.
Who might be replacing Warner in that first test. But even then, I just feel because of Sharma's, you know, the consistency with which he could go through an entire test, bowling over after over with that kind of pace and guile, I don't think Umesh Yadav has it in him. And I think that, you know, we're really, really going to miss Ishant in the tests. But apart from that, I was just also thinking of something else, which is that, you see, Chhateshwar Pujara, our great batting hope, in this test series, has not played a competitive game of cricket in 10 months now. He has had no cricket with a team, right? Because he was not part of the IPL. There's no domestic cricket. There's no county cricket. He has played nothing. He's done everything alone in his home, at the nets with his father in Rajkot. That's all he has done. It's just a solitary, monkish training for this big test. How do you think that affects him?
You know, that really works for him from time to time. I've heard a lot about these sessions that he has at home with his father, Arvind Pujara, in Rajkot. They get pretty intense. And monkish is just the perfect way to describe it, because he gets into the kind of zone that one gets into only in competitive fixtures, like test matches, in those sessions, right? Now, I know that's no substitute for match play, but someone of Pujara's caliber will just need the four innings that he's got before the Adelaide test in the two warm-up games to really like hit his stride. I don't think it's going to affect him at all. The fact that he missed out on the IPL and has been completely out of action. And, you know, here when I say action, I'm literally making air quotes, because he is playing cricket every single day, whether it's on an international cricket ground or whether it's in his backyard in Rajkot. But I want to ask you possibly an equally pertinent question, which is, you know, we've got this revolving door with our openers at this point, right? Australia's openers struggled when Warner wasn't around in 2018-19. I think we're going to kind of face similar problems, not because we have anybody missing, but we have too many people around by the time we come to Sydney. And I want to really ask you about Sydney here, because that's the fourth test. And that'll be my segue into a wrap-up of the 2018-19 series as well. By the time we come to Sydney, who do you think our openers are going to be?
Oh, yeah, that's a very good question. And I don't really have an answer for you. You see, because I am a big fan of Shubman Gill's batting style. I look at him bat and I think that he has greatness in him. He's such a, you know, what they say is a compact player, which basically means that he has great economy in the way he moves, in how he approaches his batting. So every little, you know, flow of his action is perfectly considered. There's nothing out of place. And, you know, he knows how to, for example, he really knows how to leave the ball going, swinging away from him on the offside. That's an ability that doesn't come naturally to most batsmen. It comes naturally to Shubman at his age to let go of the ball and not have the temptation to reach out to play something. And so I really feel that he's going to come good as an opener. I wish that he will. I think he will score big runs, and I think he's got a humongous future in front of him. And of course, I think Mayank is an incredible talent, and he showed it last time. Like you said, 30 minutes, you don't know whether you're playing, and the next thing you know, you're facing Mitchell Starc and scoring beautifully. I think he's just going to keep going from there. I think the question you ask me is, where does Rohit Sharma fit in?
Yeah. And like a great opener yourself, you've beautifully left that question outside the off stump and, you know, dealt with absolutely everything else in your walk to square.
I just think Shubman Gill drops down and Sharma comes in as an opener. Gill maybe drops down to one.
So you think by Sydney they're going to finish with Mayank and Rohit?
Yeah, Mayank and Rohit.
Okay, yeah.
But Gill also in the lineup, kind of replacing Virat.
That's crazy, right? Because like we've totally discounted Prithvi Shaw here, who's done very little wrong in at least the first 5 months of his test career until, you know, everything went pear-shaped. But and as Kale Rahul,
you can see my biases here.
Absolutely. Anyway, so the opener and Mayank Agarwal did really, really well in Sydney as well. So immediately after his 76 on debut in Melbourne, he had a 77 in Sydney. Pujara, of course, was unstoppable, got a 193. And Pant, you know, took us from a possible declaration at 500 to 630 or 20 or whatever it was with his 159, right? India declared at well over 600. And then Kuldeep bowled out Australia for 300 Now, this is the match that we would have won too because we had enough time if rain hadn't interrupted play. When the Test series was won, the Indians were indoors. There was no scramble for the stumps or souvenirs. There was just like hands being shook. And, you know, the crowd, a very patient Indian crowd in the stands in the SCG, like banging away at their drums. That's how we won the series last time. And right. We will know exactly what it's going to look like in Sydney this time around, the same venue. Last yeah, thought, Rudra?
May it happen again.
May it happen again. Let's see. Yeah, that's it for us. We're obviously going to be back with far more detailed episodes on the test matches itself. So, yeah, please do tune in. This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast. HT Smartcast.